The reading is taken from John chapter 14, verses 12 to 17. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for Denzel. We thank you for his life. We thank you, Father, for the way in which you've been molding and making him, Father, and using him for your glory, Father God. We thank you for the abilities and talents that you have given him, Father. Lord, even as he brings us your word, we just pray, Father, that you'll use him mightily, Father, and speak to each and every one of us. Bless us, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Over to Denzel.
Hello again. Did you guys cope well with that? Is that right? Cool. I thought before I preach to you guys, I thought I'll share a little bit my testimony and where I've come from, so you guys actually know why I'm here and what I'm actually doing. So fast forward and back, when I was 3 years old, my mom and my dad, they split up. They got into whatever they get into, and they split up. And I remember my mom, she was a very strong Christian. She still is now. And she went into this church service, and there was this preacher from America. He was an evangelist who came from America, who was a guest preacher at this church. And he was quite different. All of this she told me, because obviously I was three, I didn't remember. But she said to me that he was an evangelist and he was a singer. She said she hasn't really seen that before, where a guy can actually preach the gospel and you can also sing it as well. And she was just in awe of this guy, thinking, wow, he's so amazing. And in her struggles, in her time of difficulties, because she has to raise me up by herself, she said to God, Lord, I want my son to be like this guy. I want my son to be like this evangelist. And she said, for the first time in her life, she heard an audible voice from God saying that he will, and he's going to be greater. So from that time, my mom knew that I was a type of special kid. But I grew up and I had dyslexia from a very young age. I struggled with dyslexia and I still have it now. And she just didn't understand how I was going to be this evangelist if I couldn't read properly and I couldn't spell. And I got into primary school and I just didn't enjoy it because I couldn't read properly, couldn't write properly. And I just started messing around, didn't really pay attention. And then it went on and on and on. And then something when I was at the age of seven happened. There was another similar situation. And my mom again was in a church service and I was there and I was in Sunday school. I never listened in Sunday school. And there was this another quite well-known preacher from Ghana who came down, and he flowed in a prophetic ministry. And one day he came to the church and he was preaching, and he felt God was speaking to him about somebody here, but he couldn't see the person's face. So he said, oh, bring all the kids here. Bring all the kids into the room. So I remember we all getting rushed into the main service. This was a huge church, had over 700 people in that church. And all the kids had to line up in front of every single person. And then the preacher came and he started praying for every single kid, praying for every single kid. And then he got to me and he said, stand to the side. And you know, as going in primary school, you know, I'm about to be in trouble. And so he said, stand to the side. I didn't get it. He prayed for every single person else, but he didn't pray for me. And he told all the kids to go back except for me. And so all the kids went, and I just stood in the middle of the church, and he just looked at me. He just crossed his hands, and he just looked at me. And I was really awkward situation there. And he just for a few minutes, he just looked at me. And then God just started speaking through him. He started prophesying over my life that I was going to be a preacher at a very young age, and I was going to travel the world telling people about Jesus. And God sees that I have this ability of dyslexia, but he's still going to use me for his glory. At 7 years old, I had no idea what he was talking about. But the church seemed to know, and I went away, and I didn't actually grasp what he was actually speaking about. He spoke for quite a long time as well. But then I went into high school and I completely went off the rails. Again, I hated school. I only went to school to eat lunch and meet with friends. And I didn't enjoy school at all because I thought, there's no point. And I discovered this new talent. And I discovered the talent of rugby. Surprise, surprise, even I'm a bit skinny now. I was extremely good at rugby. I got picked up by Harlequins at a very young age. And I thought, yeah, that's obviously what God wants me to do. He wants me to be a rugby player. I'm going to pursue that. Forget school. I don't need school. And I remember in my area, so I'm from a place called Croydon, you probably should know where it is, and a place in Thornton Heath. And quite early on, because I never really had that father figure in my life, I was always searching for that. I joined a gang very easily. It was very easy to get into. And from a young age, I was stealing things from people, holding knives, and for my older, who's one of the gang leaders, doing so many crazy stuff. And then it reflected back in school as well. I was always getting kicked out, coming back, kicked out, coming back, kicked out. Then in year 9, I did something very, very bad. And the school was like, we're going to have to permanently exclude you here. And this was 2 weeks before the summer holidays. And I remember the governors had to come in and they had a meeting with my mom. My mom was shocked because at home I was an angel. But on the streets and at school, I was completely different. And she just couldn't understand that God said to her that I was going to be an evangelist, but it doesn't seem like this is actually going to happen. And so she had a meeting with the governors and she had a long thought. And my mom, she's from Ghana. And a lot of the times when your child is bad, I don't know if they do it anymore, they will take you over to Africa for a new experience of life. And my mom decided to do that. She said, you know, I'm going to take you to Ghana. You can stay with your grandma, who's extremely strict. And you're gonna live your life in Ghana. To be honest, I wasn't that upset about going to Ghana because I wasn't good at anything else here except from rugby. And I knew Ghana doesn't have a rugby team. So I went over to Ghana, and I was quite happy. I heard the Ghanaian girls look pretty as well. So I thought that was going to be a bonus. So I went to Ghana, and I wasn't really focused on anything, though looking at finding me an international school there and stuff. Long story short, my uncle, he's a pastor in Ghana, and there was one night where we were just speaking about spiritual stuff. I was quite into the spiritual stuff, and Ghana and Africa's a very spiritual place. And we were just speaking about spiritual stuff, and then he started speaking to me about hell. And my mom was from a Pentecostal background, so if you don't do your homework, you're going to hell. And so I've had so much experience of that word, and I know about hell, and I didn't believe I was going to hell because I was a Christian. And he said to me, do you know that even Christians can go to hell? I was like, what are you talking about, even Christians can go to hell? He said, yeah, even Christians can go to hell. And I just had to reflect on my life and realized, if I died that night, I'm going to this place that he described. And he went into details on what hell was all about. And that really frightened me. And I went to my grandma's room and I just started thinking about my life and thinking, what is my purpose? I can't read properly. I can't write properly. I can't play the only thing I was good at, rugby. So why am I even alive? What's my purpose? What's my identity? And then I just remembered that word that minister said when I was 7 years old. And that's that one word I remember him saying I was going to be a preacher of the gospel. And I thought, you know what, let me just surrender my life. I have nothing else to do, so let me just surrender my life to Jesus. And I just said this prayer. I didn't get taught how to say this particular prayer. I just said a prayer of surrender, asking Jesus, asking the Holy Spirit into my life. And in that instant, I had a powerful feeling, which I still can't describe in words, but it felt like something was being placed inside of me. And for a few minutes, I just had this powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, I started to read the Bible, and I could actually read the Bible. And I could not just read the Bible, I could understand the Bible, and I could also teach the Bible in a very short space of time. And my mom, as she was a very spirit-filled lady, God was speaking to her not to leave me in Ghana, but to take me back to England because God was going to use me then. And we had a guy called Lord Harris. I don't know if you heard of him before, but he buys all the Harris Academy schools. And he was planning on buying our school, and he bought our school. So I could go back into that same school with a clean sheet, ready to do what God has called me to do. And I remember, just being able to read the Bible. I was just so intrigued with the Bible, reading it all the time. That was the only book I could understand. And I just got more and more deep into the Bible. And I came back to England crazy for Jesus Christ. I needed to tell every single person about him. And I remember going to school, and my friends started laughing at me, thinking, you were bullying us before. How can you now say you're a Christian? And I had so much, minor persecutions from people laughing at me. And I thought, let me just take it a step further. I went to my headmistress, and I said to her, I want to start a Bible study in our school. And she said, okay. I thought it was that quite easy. And she gave us the library, because I didn't think a lot of people were going to come. She gave us a library to use so that we can use it on a daily basis. So, long story short, I placed some posters around advertising this Bible studies. Wasn't expecting anybody to come, because being a Christian isn't cool. And I went to lunch. I stayed extra at lunch. I went into the library, and it was packed full of people. People who just wanted to know, what on earth is Denzel on about? And for a few months, I had kind of a Jesus experience where I had literally people following me, just wanting to know what this gospel is all about. And I had so many of my friends who came to Christ. We had like a little mini revival in our school where even some of the teachers would come and they would hear the gospel as well, thinking, what is this guy on about? I was just crazy on the school buses, on the trains, anywhere I could to tell people about Jesus. And I was at 14 at that time. And when I was 15 years old, God made it very clear to me that he was setting me apart from my peers, from the other young people, just to do his work. I wasn't going to go finish school and get a 9-to-5 normal job and stuff, but he's called me just to do his work. And I started a kind of a mini youth church. It was a church that just planted in Thornton Heath. And I just developed. I had many mentors who were developing me. Then I left school at 16. I got okay GCSEs, but I left school at 16. And I joined this youth missionary team where we traveled almost every month to different places and preaching. And then when I was 18 years old, I was planning to go back to Ghana to work with this pastor who has a mega church in Ghana. I thought, yes, this is it. I can't wait to go. I'm going to be well known when I go there. And God said, no, I want you to stay and I want you to study. I think, God, what are you on about? You know I'm not academic. I can read the Bible and that's about it. How am I going to go and study? And then an opportunity came up to go to Spurgeon's. I thought I'll never, ever be accepted into Spurgeon's. My uncle, he was extremely smart and he went to Spurgeon's and he didn't even complete the course. So I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to go to Spurgeon's. I prayed about it, and I am so in love with Charles Spurgeon's, and I really wanted to go to Spurgeon's. I love him because he was young as well when he started his ministry, and I thought, this would be an awesome opportunity to go there. I did an interview, didn't think I was going to get in, and I got in for some reason, and I'm there now, and on my third year, just about to finish. And by God's grace, I'm working with Stretton Baptist Church. As an evangelist, as a student evangelist, and I get to go out to speak at different churches and also to perform music as well. So that's a little bit about my background and where I've come from and everything, so you guys know a little bit about me now. So coming back now to the sermon, it's very interesting because the Lord begins to speak to me in different ways, and I've realized that the Lord speaks to me in themes and in seasons. So each season of my life, there is a theme that God gives me. And for instance, last year I had so many themes. I had a theme of sacrifice. So in that particular season of my life, God was teaching me about sacrifice. What is to sacrifice? Sacrificing your life, sacrificing your time, your resources. And for a particular time and season, God was teaching me about that. And this year, God has given me a theme, and that theme has not gone away. For some reason, I think it's going to be my long life theme. And this theme, and this is the title of the sermon, is called Lifestyle Christianity, Focusing on the Holy Spirit. That's Lifestyle Christianity, Focusing on the Holy Spirit. So I get the opportunity to go to many different Baptist churches around the country, and I begin to speak to them about the Holy Spirit, and they look at me like, what is this guy talking about? What is this Holy Spirit that this guy is talking about? I know you guys are Spirit-filled church, so you know what I'm talking about here. But I get a lot of confused faces, like, why does he keep on talking about the Holy Spirit? And I realize that the church, especially Christians, we pray to God the Father. We know that he's there. We say, Father, bless us, or Father, Father. We pray to God the Father. And we recognize God the Son as well. We recognize Jesus Christ because we pray to Jesus Christ and his name is above every other name. We know about Jesus Christ. But then we come to the Holy Spirit and we're like, do we pray to the Holy Spirit? What is he used for? You know, there's a bit of confusion about what the Holy Spirit is all about. It's a passage I'm going to read in a minute. And I just want us to look at this. When Jesus he died, he rose again, and now he was with his disciples telling them, like, I'm about to shoot off now, so you have to be ready for something. And Jesus then ascends up to heaven. We see Jesus ascends up to heaven. So if God the Father is in heaven, and God the Son is in heaven, then who is on earth with us now? The Holy Spirit. Simple answer is the Holy Spirit that is with us now. So if the Holy Spirit is what's with us now, we should get to know him a lot more. We really need to know who he is. And I think that's one of the biggest tricks that the enemy is showing the church, is that they don't really understand who this Holy Spirit is. They don't really understand the power and what they have inside of them. So today I'm going to be speaking about that. And hopefully, if you guys can really understand this, and if you really open up your heart to this message, your life is going to be completely transformed. From a young age, when I discovered what the Holy Spirit was, my life was instantly transformed. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I want us to look at one of my favorite passages in the Bible, Acts 1, verses 4. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Acts 1, verses 4. If you have a smartphone or whatever, you can turn to that as well. If you're there, shout amen. Amen. So I know a few people are not there. That's one of my tricks. Cool. So it says this. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the season that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come again in the same way you saw him going into heaven. Amen. I thought this passage was so amazing. So Jesus is now with his disciples, and his last words that he could say to his followers, to his disciples, wasn't that, oh, I love you so much and take care of yourselves. That wasn't his last words. Even though he did love them, that wasn't his last words. But it's interesting, Jesus' last words to his disciples was that you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And I was reflecting on the disciples, and at this time, thinking about it, disciples were basically doing a degree in following Jesus Christ. They were with him for 3 years. They know how to speak like Jesus, how to eat like Jesus, how to sleep like Jesus, how to heal like Jesus, how to preach like Jesus. They know everything about Jesus. They know everything. They've been taught by the man himself, the big man himself. But then Jesus still tells them to wait. I mean, if that was me, if I was in my studies in Spurgeon's, which I am burning to come out of, if I was in my time with Spurgeon's and they say to me, you have to wait now. Wait for what? I've done all my studies. I've done everything. I've done my hermeneutics and my exegesis. I've done every single thing. Why do I need to wait? And the disciples, they were taught by Jesus. They knew everything, how to do everything that Jesus did. But he still tells them to wait. He still tells them to wait. To wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. And I look at it as having a brand new car. Imagine you have a nice Bentley. Bentleys are one of my favorite cars. But imagine you have a nice Bentley. And it's got the nicest interiors. It's got a new technology inside of it. It's an all-white, really nice car. But it has no petrol. The car is basically useless. You just sit in the car and get warm or whatever. But the car is basically useless. But as soon as you put the petrol inside of it, or diesel or whatever, you put that inside of it, it's now activated and it can go and do what it's meant to do. And that's like what it's like with the Holy Spirit. He's our power. He is what gives us the power to do what God has called us to do. Amen. And in my time, my short time in ministry, it's been this saying that's really bugged me, and it's speaking about ministers or people burning out. Has anyone heard that saying before? Burning out. We hear that so many times, and I see it so many times. I see so many great men and women of God who burn out. And I was reflecting on that as people were telling me, Denzel, just calm down a bit. You know, you might burn out. And I was thinking, how can I burn out when I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me? Reading the Bible, I never saw Jesus burning out. I never saw that. So why can I burn out when I have the Holy Spirit in me? And just reflecting on that, the only time, the time that people begin to burn out is when they use their own strength, they use their own ability and don't rely on the power that is in them. And they get tired. As human beings, we get tired. They get tired and they burn out. I see it so many times in ministry, but it's because people are not relying on the power that they have inside of them. There's this passage that we read today that Haran read for us today in John 14:12. This is my favorite passage in the Bible, where Jesus is saying we'll do what he did and even greater things. I remember reading that at 14 years old. I honestly thought the Bible made a mistake. And if you're reading it through your Bibles, you see that this is Jesus speaking because it's in red. And Jesus is saying that we're going to do what he did. And okay, that just blows me away, first of all, because I imagine and I think about what Jesus did. He walked on water. He healed the sick. He rose people from the dead. He fed 5,000 people. And he's saying that we can do what he did. And then Jesus takes it a step further and says we're going to do greater things than he did. Doesn't that blow our minds? Jesus himself is telling us that we can do greater things than he did. And not that we're going to be greater than Jesus, but because we're going to live longer than Jesus and we can perform many more miracles than he did in his lifetime. And at 14 years old, that just got me mad. That got me crazy that Jesus himself is saying that we can do greater things than he did, not because we are super special people and we have the abilities and the skills to do it. No, but because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have God's Spirit, which is dwelling in us today. And that's what allows us to do greater things than he did. I really believe many Christians are missing the benefits of not having the Holy Spirit. They are missing the benefits of not having the Holy Spirit. And I've got a few stupid examples and silly examples of what it's like not having the Holy Spirit as a Christian. And it's like having two bodyguards with you. Imagine you go out, you have your two big, strong bodyguards who have a bit muscles like I do. But you get into a fight and you don't use the bodyguards at all. You just tell them to stand to the side and you get totally beaten up. You had the benefits there. You had these two bodyguards who could have helped you, but you decided not to. It's like having a car with one of the best cars. Again, let's use a Bentley, my favorite cars. And you imagine having the best car It's full of tank, full of petrol, full of diesel, whatever. But you decide to walk to work, which is 100 miles away. You've missed the benefits. You can totally ride your car in style and get to where you need to be. It's like having a box of tissue right next to you. You got a runny nose, but you decide to use your hands. It's like you being hungry, so hungry you haven't eaten for days, and somebody offers you the biggest meal ever, but you decide not to take it. It's just silly. These examples are just silly. And it's just like how it is as being a Christian. It's just silly being a Christian and not having the Holy Spirit, or having the Holy Spirit and not using the Holy Spirit. It's just silly. You have the benefits of that. In my time in Spurgeon's, when I first started Spurgeon's and I got flooded with all these theological books that I didn't even understand, I decided just to spend some time to do some Bible study by myself. And as a typical evangelist, I started to read the book of Acts, one of my favorite books. And I was looking at the book of Acts, and we see Jesus, he promises the Holy Spirit. And then a few chapters later, we see the Pentecost comes and the Holy Spirit has come upon the people. And then I see something very different about Peter. The same Peter who rejected Jesus 3 times is the same Peter who preaches his first sermon and 3,000 men come to Christ. This is the same Peter who rejected Jesus 3 times. That same Peter who was with John and they are at the Gate of Beautiful and they see a crippled beggar. He's the same Peter who said, "Rise up in the name of Jesus," and this guy could walk again. That same Peter who rejected Jesus 3 times. And again, we see Peter, he's walking and his shadow is healing people. Again, that same Peter who rejected Jesus 3 times. What was the difference? What had happened? Very simple. He had been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now he was a totally different person. That same person who thought himself wasn't qualified to do what God has called him to do, now was doing amazing things for Jesus. And I had a time when I was with God. I was like, "God, I want to do that. I want to preach and 3,000 plus people come to Christ. I want to walk on the streets and see a lame beggar and say, 'Rise up in the name of Jesus,' and they rise up. I want to walk and my shadow is healing people." And God was like to me, "You can." That same power that was in them is the same power that is in you today. And as I realized that revelation, I have taken that on board. And I just reflect on the 12 disciples, these 12 guys who were on this course. One of them had to fail, Judas, sadly. But these 12 disciples of what has changed this generation, has changed this world, and has turned this world upside down. Not because they were completely special people and they had special abilities and because they were with Jesus, but because they have been filled with the Holy Spirit. They have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and because of that, they have changed this world upside down. And looking around this church in this room today, we are more than 12. 100%, we are more than 12. So if the 12 disciples, them sticking together and working with the Holy Spirit, changed this whole world upside down, what could this church do? If you stuck together and you were filled with the Holy Spirit, you are going to change this planet upside down simply because of the power that you have inside of you. And this message is really just to encourage and just to allow you guys to realize the power that you have inside of you, to really acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit that you have inside of you. It's very interesting because we see sick people every single day. We have sick people maybe here today. We know of our family members who are sick, our friends who are sick. And many of times when a sick person comes to us, we'll be like, "Oh yeah, I'll pray for you in my private time, and I'm sure God will heal you then." Or we'll bring them to the pastor who's apparently more holy, to bring them to the pastor for them to pray for. And not recognize the power that you have inside of you. And Jesus saying, "Lay hands on the sick. Lay hands on the sick and you will be well." And that's in Mark chapter 16, where another account of what Jesus said to his disciples. But today, I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters. This word is challenging to myself, and I hope it's a word that challenges you and really transforms your life. Brothers and sisters, we need to recognize what we have inside of us. We need to recognize what we have inside of us. And sometimes I feel like the Holy Spirit is bored in some Christian's life. He's in some people's lives, and you're walking down the street, you see a sick person, and you completely walk past them. And when the Holy Spirit's like, oh, there was an opportunity there. My power, we could have healed that person together. Or you're at work, and somebody asks you, why do you believe in God? Why do you believe in Jesus? And you're like, oh, just be quiet, John. We're trying to work here, can't you see? Another opportunity where the Holy Spirit was going to draw this person closer to himself. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is just bored, totally bored in some people's lives because they have the power but are not using it. So this is a challenge for us. And I have a few simple tips. I know I go to Spurgeon's, but I just love to preach simple messages that every single person can understand. And just have a few simple tips of what we should do, or what the next step is to do from now. And the first one is quite simple. Receive the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give some time at the end for us to pray and really seek God for this. The first thing is simple. Receive the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, get to know the Holy Spirit. My short time in ministry, from 14 years old to now, I've just been in love with the Holy Spirit. I've just been craving more of the Holy Spirit. And I can't even imagine what my life would be like without the Holy Spirit, who's leading me every single step of the way. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, get to know the Holy Spirit. And when you get to know the Holy Spirit, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, know the spiritual giftings that He gives. Know the spiritual giftings that He gives. So right now, I want to speak to every single person here today. And really, hopefully this message just touches your heart. And if there's somebody here today who doesn't even know they're a Christian, who's still on the urge, I'm not sure if I'm a Christian, I'm not sure about this thing, I can tell you, accepting Jesus Christ into your life and having the Holy Spirit in your life is the best thing you could ever, ever do. I never thought in a million years that I'll be here in Sidcup Baptist Church preaching the gospel. It's crazy. I couldn't read properly. I couldn't write properly. But now, because of the power of the Holy Spirit in me, I could do what God has called me to do. So if you're here and you're not sure about Jesus, or maybe you're here and you've been a Christian for long, but you feel like there's something missing, I don't have that joy that I used to have. I want to be refilled. I want to be topped up with the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit is here with us today. And the Bible speaks about where two or three are gathered, He's here in our midst. And looking around, we're definitely more than two and three today. So the Holy Spirit is already here, and He's already willing to move and to work in people's lives today. So I want us just now, all of us, to close our eyes right now, just to bow down and just close our eyes. And it's not about me. It's just about you connecting with the Holy Spirit. You connecting with the Holy Spirit. As I said before, the enemy, he is scared of what it will be like if every single believer knew what they had inside of him. We have a power so deep. We have Jesus Christ living inside of us. So if that's you today, if you feel like you're not a Christian, you haven't actually given your life to Jesus today, and today you want to make a stand, or you've been a Christian for quite a while, but you feel like you've fallen back a bit, and you need to be topped up with the Holy Spirit. If that's you, just raise your hands today. If you want to receive Jesus Christ, or you want to renew your time, you want to be built more in the Holy Spirit, just raise your hands today. It's not about the person next to you. It's about you and Jesus. If that's you, Just be bold to raise your hands. Okay, you can put your hands down. And if you're here today, and you obviously you know about the Holy Spirit, but you want Him to start working in your life, if this word has challenged you, where in your daily walk, your daily lifestyle, you see a sick person, you being able to heal them with the power of the Holy Spirit. We have so many people around us who are struggling with deep things, deep struggles, deep stress, deep depressions, so many things that we're struggling with. But we don't need to struggle anymore. Jesus has already paid that on the cross. We don't need to struggle anymore. But if you're here today and you want to be filled, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we need to raise your hands today. If you want to be here and you want to be filled with more of the Holy Spirit, just raise your hands. Thank you. Let's pray together, church. And if you're one of those that raise your hands, really just open your heart as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in our lives, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross for us, Lord, that we can be in total relationship with you. So I just ask you right now, Holy Spirit, to fall upon this place, to fall upon your people. I pray, Lord, that you be in here like you were in the day of Pentecost, Lord Jesus, where your presence was with your people. Just fill this place, fill Sidka Baptist Church, Lord, that every single member will be filled with the power of your Holy Spirit. And as they go out into the community that they live in, Lord, they will be transforming lives every single day. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you just give us boldness, Lord. I know sometimes we can fear. As human beings, we fear, Lord Jesus. But help us, Lord Jesus. And I just pray for any sick person here today, Lord. People with spiritual sicknesses and physical illnesses, Lord. I pray you just begin to heal every single person here today, Lord. I pray that anyone here who's struggling with deep things going in their life, Lord, I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will heal them in the name of Jesus, Father. And from today, Lord, this will not just be a time where people just hear a sermon and go home and do what they normally do, Lord. But people's lives will be transformed today, Lord, because of the power that you give us. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. And I'm not going to shoot off afterwards. I'm going to be around. If anybody here wants prayer for healing or prayer for anything, I'm around. And I am really, it's a real great privilege to be here sharing with you, brothers and sisters. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Denzel. And we're going to sing now, before we move into the time of communion, the song Come Down, O Love Divine. And this song talks about the fire of the Holy Spirit, the holy flame being bestowed on us. And it uses poetic language, but it's talking about what Denzel's been talking about. It's about the Holy Spirit coming upon each one of us in power. So let's use this song as an invitation, and repeating and reinforcing the invitation that Denzel has given to us. And we're also going to use it as our offering hymn. So if you're a visitor, please feel free to let the plates go by, but this is our chance to take up an offering as part of our worship.